God designed life in such a way that children need the favor, love, and blessing of their father. But what about when there are gaps in the way a father loves his child? What hope is there for the child of God then?
Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, like this video, subscribe to our channel, and I'm super excited for this conversation today. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's right down the vein of what we love to do, talk about faith and then talk about real matters of life and how they apply. So we're glad to have Roseanne back with us today.
Happy to be here.
So it's an important conversation, obviously, talking about relationships with God, but also relationship with people on earth. Today, specifically about a father. A father is God's design for a child to have, a father and a mother. It's the first male relationship a child has, and it is the relationship that models most a child's perception of God. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And so it is the relationship from which a child gets his sense of purpose and even confidence in life. This does not diminish the role of a mother. She has a completely different role and responsibility, equally as important, but different.
Yeah.
So when you look across the culture today, we are seeing the generational impact of a generation that had absent or distant fathers. And we talk about absent fathers a lot. Mm-hmm. But a dad can be in a home physically and still be distant in so many ways.
Yeah.
So he can be relationally distant, he can be emotionally distant, he can be spiritually distant. Mm-hmm. I think that one's one that gets the least talked about, but will be today. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then even worse, because I guess in some ways, this idea of being present but being distant, it almost comes across like a neutral, because then there's a worse version of that. There's the dad who's not just relationally distant, but he's actually relationally abusive.
Mm.
That's worse.
Yeah.
There's a dad who's physically absent, but then there's a dad who's physically abusive. He's rough, he's harsh, or verbally abusive, all those things. So there's a worse version, and all of those have an impact on a child's life, obviously.
Yeah.
So in the message this past Sunday on Father's Day, we talked about what every father must tell his children. So when we think about that, just to jump right into the conversation, how real is that from your perspectives? How real is the conversation today about children not having what they need from their dads in terms of emotional, relational, and spiritual input? How real is this?
I think it's very real. Yeah. Not just today, but yesterday and past generations. But yeah, definitely real today.
Yeah. I mean, definitely being in youth ministry and seeing teenagers, and it's kind of like they're going from childhood and just like total, man, usually I love my family. We're all just like connected, loving and everything like that. Especially like the 12-year-old who comes in, and then you see him grow up and you see like their world changes. They're starting to try to figure out more who they are apart from their parents, but still dependent on their parents.
Yeah.
And there's a very interesting dynamic that happens, especially being around teens and being in the youth ministry and getting to know them. And you see what happens in homes where there are not just like, oh yeah, they have a mom and dad at home, but like where there is a dad who is actively engaging them in their faith as well, as homes where that's not happening. You see like, okay, yeah, that's needed. And I can't, as a youth pastor, even just fill that gap.
Right.
I play a role, but it's not like I can just step into a teen's life where they are not hearing truth and they're trying to earn their dad's favor. I can't just come in and fill that gap.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like we said Sunday, which by the way, this podcast is not just aimed at dads. This is for every one of us because we've all had a dad.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, level the playing field, no dad was perfect.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, none of them were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced, really, from what I read in scripture, that's not even the goal.
Yeah.
For the dad to be the perfect one who provides everything for the child. That's not the goal.
Yeah.
So in that gap there where every dad was not perfect, there are wounds, there are hurts there, and they have to be resolved somehow, and God provides that. So I think that's ultimately where we're headed today. We're headed toward this end of like, well, what do I do with the wounds that I had in my life growing up? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even here at the table, it's Truett and I, you know, father and son.
Shout out.
I wasn't perfect at it. And so I know there are gaps for Truett in his life. But my goal can never be to try to be perfect in that.
Yeah.
And I can't live now as in continual guilt over that.
Yeah.
It'd be miserable for me.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's also like, well, what that does literally no benefit to you or to me or to any relationship after that.
It's just be like, it's a hindrance.
Oh, man, I know I came up short. I know I shouldn't. Yeah, like anytime that stuff gets said, I mean, I would imagine if you have a father that whenever they do start saying those things, the child almost always is very much like, hey, I know, and you don't have to keep on saying that. You know, because and then the more they just keep on saying it, the more it's just like, well, this is awkward now. Because like, now what? You know,
well, so you're perpetuating the problem with that. You know, if the dad continues to say, well, I know I failed you, son. I know, you know, some of the struggles you're facing today because of stuff I did. I mean, it's one thing to say that once.
Yeah, and it's like that should be said.
Yes,
at that least should be acknowledged. Hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but it's after that. Every time, is that the hinge of the relationship of like, I'm just a sorry old dude?
Right.
It's like,
And then on the other side, it's not healthy to carry resentment and bitterness toward the dad because he didn't fill the gap.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Everybody can just own that.
Yeah.
Be aware of that. So now what are you going to do? You can stay bitter at him. You're going to perpetuate the gap. You'll create a generational curse and pattern in your life.
Yeah.
There's a way to heal in all of this.
That's
so
really good.
Let's talk about that for just a moment, this idea of being bitter. I think this is the most common thing today. It's sad that's actually what a lot of counselors kind of encourage, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, tell me about where your dad failed you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, therefore you are, let me give you a label, you know?
Yes.
You
are some took the words right out of my mouth.
Labels, and this is how you're always going to be. Why is that such a dead-end path to just rehearse the failures of a father and then stay in that? Why is that a dead end for people today?
For the counselors, there's more money there.
It's a cul-de-sac where they just circle around.
Exactly. And you're never going to find healing, and then it's going to damage your child. Well, then there's another patient, you know, in some
ways.
That's
true.
Not to be a slam,
but it's real, though.
It's real, yeah.
I think the sad thing is that there's, because on one side, it is good to be like, hey, can you dig in your life and understand 100%. Why you do what you do? There is benefit.
Yes.
If it's done correctly.
Correct. Yes.
But also the idea that like, oh, knowledge, if I just can know more about why I suck as a person, then I'll figure it out. It's like, no.
You got to have the why that you're going to the root, and then what are you going to do with the root? Are you going to sit there as a victim, or are you then going to take that and be like, okay, I'm going to be the greater person, or I'm going to be, you know, what God called me to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good counselor will lead you to a place of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, the answer is going to be in your Heavenly Father. That's you know, for all the gaps that your father was to you, your Heavenly Father fills in the gap, and he does it not just to fill it back up to where it needed to be, but in overabundance.
Yeah.
You know, he becomes strong in your weakness, and he actually uses that spot right there to be the place where he reveals his greatest glory in you and through you. So,
and that's the toughest part, getting to that weakness. I mean, there's a lot of tough parts, but that's a tough part. You have to allow yourself to drop that pride and get to the weakness to find the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think just to go one more on this, it's very tough because it's very enticing to be like, oh, if I just can figure out, if I had more knowledge about why I do these things and because it's from my past and all this stuff, it seems like, oh, I'm gonna really get somewhere with my life. And you might understand more about yourself, and that's cool.
Right.
But it's also, I think it is in the similar vein to like the conspiracy theory route of like, if I could just understand how much more corruption there actually is out there, then I'll really understand how dark the world is.
Yes. Right.
Then I'll really like, what?
Yes.
Like no more darkness?
Because
that's what...
Or hold more bitterness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that's what counseling can turn into if it's not done toward the end of we're going for healing and we're going for life change. And that's what truth is.
Because you can't change that life past. Change.
Exactly.
Yes. Right.
You can acknowledge, and like I'm a huge fan of history, so I'm like, I want to understand why things are the way they are or were the way they were. But it has to, in this area of our life, if we're talking about wounds, there has to be then a further, here's the healing part. Yeah. Not just like, hey, let's just pick around and poke around in this wound and like see how much does this hurt? How much hurt can you withstand? It's like,
there's no benefit in that.
Sounds like not healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the other end, you've got this thing where in Christianity, you have people who come to faith in Jesus Christ and they say, oh, I know the Lord. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But there's never any walking of those truths over into those areas of their life. So there's never any healing. So they walk around with deep insecurities, for example, which can often come from an overbearing, harsh father who never spoke love and blessing into a child's life. Yeah. So they live uncertain and insecure. Well, the healing is in understanding, okay, those things were said to you by your earthly father, but I want you to hear the things that your heavenly father says about you.
Yes.
And now you can be healed in that.
Yeah. And believe it and walk in it.
Exactly. I mean, I get it. There even some men can be insecure around masculine men because they didn't see that growing up. Mm-hmm. And so when they see it, they don't know what to do around it. Mm. And it can cause some, you know, a lot of doubts about their own masculinity. Well, maybe I'm not masculine. Maybe something's wrong.
Yes.
It just introduces a whole line of troubles and thoughts because they didn't get that blessing from their dad growing up. So it can introduce insecurities about masculinity, confusion about masculinity. If a father never passes on to a child, son or daughter, a sense of purpose and worth and value, then that son or daughter will live then trying to always prove their worth.
Yeah.
They'll get into relationships and always feel like I have to prove myself, you know, and I've got to have constant affirmation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got this hole in me. And so I'm going to use you actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am or sir, to feed my quest, my longing for my own worth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked Sunday about even the idea of people pleasing can sometimes come.
Well, before you go to the people pleasing, hang on. I got to say something to what you said, because I think that's a huge message, especially to dads today, because of, you know, having three boys, but Okay. Because of kids today and social media, the need for approval and all of that. It's not just when we were kids or, you know, you're younger and I'm younger than Brian, but it's a different... It was a different route of going to a relationship or going to a need, but now they have so many avenues that they can go for approval as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah. So people-pleasing can be something someone struggles with if they don't get a sense of confidence in who they are as a person from their dad. They will live with that void, and then who becomes or what becomes the easiest source to get that? Other people. And so then, sadly, people live with that people-pleasing mindset. I can't ever disappoint anyone. Mm-hmm. I can't tell them no, because if I do, it feels an awful lot like what I grew up with, and that hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were going to say something about people-pleasing, Roseanne? No?
Yes. Well, I have a lot to say on people-pleasing because I'm a recovering people-pleaser.
All right.
So it's definitely one you start to think back through. I have a wonderful dad who he spoke love over us, but he was a hard hand.
Right.
And you didn't say no, you know, when you were given a task. Yes. Right. Yes. Or, you know, if there was something. And so I know that I'm a people-pleaser that... I don't know. It's just a tough one. It's a tough one to go off of. True, you go. Let me gather my thoughts, and then I'm going to go. I know.
Fine. Well, let's go off on another one here for just a minute.
Okay.
We're talking about different, I guess you could say, symptoms of not having a father's approval.
Of having a wound.
Yes.
You're saying, right? Like,
There's gaps in everyone's life where a dad either didn't provide words of, you know, identity or sense of purpose and destiny, or acceptance, or just honest love expressed. And when that happens, one of the other factors or results can be that a person can find it difficult to be emotionally vulnerable. If they never saw that, if they never experienced that, then that is a foreign concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The idea of I can be honest and open without getting... you know, smacked or condemned or told to be quiet or go to your room or whatever.
Or made fun of. I know that goes with the condemning, yes. But yeah.
Yep. Yep. And that could introduce a lot of issues. It causes problems in relationships that sadly don't show up sometimes till later in life.
It's true.
Mm. When you all of a sudden you're in this place where you need to be able to be emotionally vulnerable or mm-hmm. have intimacy in a relationship, not just physical, but emotional, spiritual intimacy.
With your spouse and your children.
You can't do it because you didn't see it. And in fact, it was kind of frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have a framework in your mind for what that even looks like, sounds like, or feels like. So there's a lot of, that's just a short list of some of the symptoms that can play out in a person's life. It's necessary to know some of those so we can look at our own lives and say, oh, that's why I do that.
Yes.
You know, it goes back to this wound I had.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stay in this place of defeat or guilt or shame mm-hmm. or bitterness.
Yes.
I'm going to now go to the one who can heal and give in abundance what was missing.
And feel the freedom of that.
Yeah.
Whenever you're in, kind of going back to the people pleasing one and worrying about disappointing someone, mm-hmm. there's no freedom there. It's just a trap. And you can even find yourself hiding in that, okay, well, in order to not upset that person or to not displease them, mm-hmm. I'm going to go about and try to do everything myself for either, not even a validation, but so that they are not affected by whatever choice this was, even if it's out of your control. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Of course, I've done a lot of reading on this recently, and one of the fascinating things that even comes with it sometimes is that a person who's the people pleaser can become an enabler.
Yes.
Of other people.
Yes.
In their mm-hmm. their struggles or their long term temptation patterns or habits, because they can't find it within them to tell them no.
Yes. Man, and that was a tough pill to swallow. You said that on Sunday. Two things you said on that I have your quotes here.
Oh boy.
I know. It was just so good. But that you become an enabler because you don't want to tell those closest to you no, and you mm-hmm. enable them in the vilest of temptations and sins. And when you said that, I was like, no, no way. He's not right. But then you stop to think about it. Like, what is enabling? Like, when we try to fix everything for somebody else. When you think about your mm-hmm. kids, how many times, especially as a mom, I'm sure as dads, mm-hmm. y'all have that too, but trying to fix everything for them, mm-hmm. well, then they don't learn. And mm-hmm. then that's a whole, right. Are you doing it for a short term? Are you doing it for a long term?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you're enabling them as well, giving in on their demands.
Yeah.
And that's one thing as a child, but to an adult too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear of confrontation, fear of having difficult conversations.
Yes.
Because that feels a lot like rejection.
Yes.
That you felt mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't have that confidence within you, then you can never have those conversations.
That's right.
So.
And we can tend to take on their emotions.
Yeah.
Whenever you have to tell them no.
I'm still not super great, I would say, at confrontation.
Yeah.
It's not my strong suit, but I'm not using this to blame my dad at all, but I'm just saying I grew up in a setting where those things, they didn't really happen much. There was, you know, you need to do this and you didn't do this and now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But the idea of sitting down with my dad, especially,
mm-hmm.
There were not deep emotional conversations and, you know, messages of I love you and tell me what's going on in your life right now. Mm-hmm. Just didn't happen. I love my dad. My dad loved me and he loved me with what he could, the way he had. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm fairly confident he didn't get that from his dad. And,
But just how you said, that's how you break that cycle is by then listening to your kids, but speaking it into them whenever there is something wrong. Like I know as a mom, I can explain to my kids why XYZ is happening, but man, it's so much different when Dave comes and explains something to them. They receive it in a different way.
Yep.
And to have that vulnerable moment with him is different than they can have with me.
Yeah, obviously God has design and a mother and a father being in a home, and they both have different impact. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the world's lie today that gender is fluid and that you can have two moms in a home or two dads in a home and raise a child, and they're going to be healthy and successful. It can't happen.
It's just not real.
Yeah.
It won't happen. So I want to go back to this thing about believers who call upon the Lord and are saved, walk with the Lord, but live for who knows how long, never connecting the dots, even though we're in this relationship with a God that we're taught to call Father.
Yeah,
literally.
Why is there a gap? How come those wounds and hurts and issues just continue on out there?
Yeah.
But it's almost like they're on two different tracks. Here's life over here, but here's these biblical doctrines I hold to.
Yeah.
You know, why the difference? Why isn't one touching the other?
Not that they're faking it, but they're not doing anything about this size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, or not even aware that one has anything to do with the other.
The connection.
Yeah. I mean, I think on one hand you have, and it's easy to just be like, oh, just throw some blame on this. Like the church has not, and you could say in the recent history, did not make the connection. Like there was not the, hey, this is not just a religious thing. You know, like it became very religious, very much this is just a thing to do. And there was not a, this is a whole being style of faith, you know. And so there's that one aspect of it. Just like, it just was not modeled. It was not taught. That goes back to another thing that we have talked about recently. Is like you look at people these days, and you ask, "Hey, who are some good, strong male role models in your life?" And it's like, "Oh boy,
yeah."
I can think of like two, and they were just coaches, you know.
Right,
and it was like,
"Yeah,
that's tough," you know. And so I think the other side of that is you didn't even have anyone doing that. There's no, if there's no lens, no ability to see, oh, this is what this could look like, then how is it ever going to change?
When I'm with men, if I'm in a study setting long enough, I'm going to ask them at some point, all right, tell me, how many of you had a dad who was spiritually engaged in the home? They were a leader and they exemplified faith too, and you talked about that in the home. Rarely ever do I find that happened. And this is, you know, it could be 30 men in the room.
Yeah.
And you just don't find it. And they can be 60 years old or they can be 20 years old. You just don't find it. Yeah. So it's sad.
Yeah. And mind-blowing.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And then you add to that the fact that many of them, they would say, actually, it was kind of the opposite. I had a dad who was angry, mean, you know, gone, whatever. So I get it when people say, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, and you're telling me I'm supposed to relate to God as a father. Mm. How does all this work?
Yeah. So, and to not see him as a God of like a wrath or a punishment.
Because they naturally will, because a father shapes a child's perception of God.
Yeah.
So this is where I would say, man, it's so important for the church to discuss these things.
It's true,
to help people, women and men, recognize the wound results in their life, the wound symptoms, and then recognize how to turn to your heavenly Father and find healing in those spaces.
Yes.
The one other thing that we've said on the podcast before, we kind of mentioned it today, but just to really go in on it, like the goal, though, for parenting cannot be perfect parenting.
Yes.
Like that. Right.
You could say yes in an ideal world, perfect parent. Like, yeah, I want to parent perfectly and I'm not going to mess up and all this stuff. But you're not, like, you can't fill the void in your child. You won't. No. And it's not, oh, because you're just a sinner and you suck so much. No.
No.
It's because that's not what your role in this life is.
Correct.
Like,
you're not meant to do that.
No. And same for a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband.
Like, correct.
Yes.
That is not the person that fulfills you entirely.
That's
and
right.
You cannot be everything for your child. You shouldn't be everything for your child. Not that you shouldn't then care for them. Not that you shouldn't then sacrifice for them.
Of course,
all the stuff. Like, yes, do those things. But the point is not to do it perfectly. The point is to point to the one who has done it perfectly, right?
Yes. And model what you can, what he's done for you.
Yes.
And then, every time you come up short, you say, this is... I can't and won't do this perfectly.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is one who does.
There is there is another Father.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right. And he loves you perfectly.
Yes, exactly. And when you do everything for them, then they live in a life of disappointment because you can't fulfill that. And it sets them up for a negative marriage because then they're going to expect that in the other one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I will say, becoming a parent, I realize that my parents weren't perfect. I think the older my kids get, I realize... oh, hey, yeah, that was pretty tough.
They're going to realize
thanks for all you did. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to.
And yes.
We do our kids a better service by just being honest with it up front.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And then they actually become more open with you when you're open with your, hey, I messed up.
Yeah, exactly. And not that I messed up should be, again, like that should not be the defining factor of your relationship with your child.
Yes. Right.
Like it is okay to acknowledge and move on just as it is with God. And you say, I have sinned. I have messed up. But it doesn't have to be every prayer. God, I know I'm the worst person you've created.
No,
and, you know,
then it's just the cycle, the spiral downward. Yeah.
You're just agreeing with the enemy at that point.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So,
you know, we're invited into a relationship with God, and Jesus says, I'm gonna tell you actually how to talk to him. Mm-hmm. When you do, start like this: Our Father, which art in heaven. So he invites us to that.
Yeah.
You read over in the New Testament, we find that we're even invited into not just this, he's a superior, we refer to him as Father, but he is close, and you can even call him Abba, which is an affectionate term for we might say daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a very different concept of God.
Yeah.
But one that brings healing.
It does.
So.
And peace.
So what do you say to people about how do you make that move away from my dad was this, and now I've come to God who is a father daddy to me. How do you help them make that shift and take all those places that were hurts and look to this new father now.
That's a good one.
To heal and find everything that they need. What do you say to them?
That's a huge question.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I'd say it's not going to happen in one day.
It's not. No. Yeah.
And I would say that doesn't mean don't do it though. You know, it doesn't mean that this is the quest that we have in this life. Basically the thing that we have is to further and further understand the character of God as your father, as being a child of his. And it's, again, people like to say, hey, everyone's just a child of God and all this stuff. All children are God's children. And that's nice and sweet and very sounds nice, but it's not true, sadly. It is those who have committed themselves to Christ are adopted by God to be in his family. So it is only those in Christ that are the children of God. And so therefore then the people who are in Christ can say, all right, God, you are my father.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you've treated your son is the way you treat me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way your son related to you is the way I want to relate to you. And that's again, the incredible thing about how God has orchestrated this amazing story we're in is he literally gave the template for us to follow.
Yeah.
And so that's classic cliche of an answer. How would you tell someone, you know, to learn? What is it like to treat God as an intimate father? Look at Jesus.
Right.
Yes. What did he do in his life?
I love that you brought up the character of Jesus, the character of God, because I think that's a huge thing in that. And I think the way to kind of get to that point is letting that heart of stone, that those wounds that are hardening up, that you have to be in prayer that is, you know, made into a heart of flesh or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then remembering whenever you start to bring on that emotion that, oh, I've got to walk on eggshells this is the demand I have to fulfill. That's not who God is.
Right.
You don't walk on eggshells with him. You go to him honestly with your faults. Mm-hmm. You know that he is loving and flip the script and bring your mind to that instead of the negative.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, it's the only way that you really can begin to forgive a dad who wasn't everything you needed, or maybe even was abusive, is when you find, okay, I have a heavenly father who actually meets all those needs.
Yeah.
I can release my earthly dad
from
what I have held against him
and
understand and be compassionate, you know, toward him. So, so there's a lot of great resources out there to help on this subject. Of course, the book Wild at Heart is a great resource for men and necessary to help walk through what the wounds look like and how to find healing from that. their counterpart book to that one is called
Captivating.
Captivating for Women.
Yes.
Is equally as good.
Yeah.
I love it as well. So I'm sure you've come across people who have are in the process of healing from father wounds. What are you finding? What are you hearing from people like that? What are you seeing in them? Anything specific?
You're asking some really tough questions.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. So what do we see in someone who is...
Who's healing?
Healing.
You don't have to mention any names.
Oh, no, I'm not going to mention names.
Yeah.
So when you ask a question about like that, I just start to kind of unlock memories in my mind of people. But I would say freedom. I mean, I know that's the blanket answer, but you see a different confidence in them when they're going away from what they believe their father... their earthly father should have done, or forgiveness of what he did do, moving to our heavenly father. Like you see a freedom, you see, I would say, an even deeper breath of peace.
That's that was the visible thing I was thinking of, is someone who just...
It's like, even like the shoulders are down.
Everything. The word that I wrote was release.
Yes.
It's that like letting go of and leaning into. Like the character of God.
Yes, and believing who he says I am. And I think that is a huge thing in the identity. If you want to pour that into your kids, you have to believe that. Like I had a father who loved Jesus, and he talked to us about Jesus, but I know he didn't hold that identity because of things with his father, you know, that you carry down. And I just think that's huge. You have to believe the identity if you're going to pour that into your kids.
So good.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'll ask the super vulnerable question then. So what are some ways that you have even walked through or are still walking through transferring the gap to your Heavenly Father and receiving maybe what your dad didn't provide? So and we'll just I'll just give a short list of things that we can experience. You can people can experience people-pleasing, we mentioned that. There can be abandonment issues where there's this fear of like, I'm going to be abandoned and left behind or lost or left alone, kind of a panic in that. People can live in perfectionism. People can live with a fear of rejection, which is really craving approval at that point. So again, like I say with my dad, and I don't say any of this again to make my dad look bad, but to say, as he would say if he were here, you know I didn't do everything perfectly. And he grew up in a very difficult time. My dad was born in 1918.
Wow.
Hardcore.
It's hard to believe, huh?
That, yes.
So, and I come along very late in life for him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm in high school and he's retired.
That's crazy.
So I know he loved me. He came to faith early in his life, but it wasn't until I'm in my 20s before he really commits his life to Christ in a very demonstrative way and starts going to church and begins to at least have little conversations, small conversations about faith. So a lot of those gaps... I mean, I've recognized at times I have had fear issues, insecurity issues, panic disorders, and stuff like that. I don't blame my dad for that, but I have had to turn to my Heavenly Father for my confidence, my certainty, purpose, and calling. Because those were not arrows that my dad gave me, my earthly dad gave me, to fight a battle. They were arrows that my Heavenly Father has given me. So
that's good.
Yeah, that was really good. Well, I would say my dad was not born in 1918. I'm still. Wow. I mean, my grandmother was born in 1924, so
that's,
that's
different, isn't it?
Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, so mine was born in the 50s.
So mind blown. Be 107 years old.
Thrown by that. Wow. So my dad, and I just have to say, the relationship I have with my dad today is beautiful. It is beautiful. And my dad is always my daddy. And I say he's my superhero. And, you know, he was a great father, had his faults, as we all do. But he did give me the confidence of a woman. Like, I was worthy. I was beautiful. He had a deep love of Jesus that he taught me, but I didn't see the deep love of the beautiful and the worthy in the eyes of God. I only saw it in the eyes of man. So that was a big lesson to learn, which also led into the people pleasing. Like, you want to look like the rest of the world says you need to. So I guess comparison trap as well, even though he poured that into me. But also the people pleasing and the perfectionism is definitely something I, you know, like I said earlier, that's a recovering for me. And then it can turn into an anger and a disappointment when I didn't fulfill that. But once I learned that it's my heavenly Father, that I, you know, I'm not a people pleaser, I'm a God pleaser. Like, that it'll change your life. There's freedom there. You don't have to live up to what the world says that you are.
It's an intentional faith step, though, to do
it
that.
It is.
Because there's a moment where emotions and thoughts kick in to old patterns. And in that moment, you have to choose, I'm not gonna do that.
That's exactly right. And you got to take that thought captive and be like, okay, we're not going down that. Because if you don't, it can just begin the spiral of something else.
You go right back where you were.
I'd say that is something that I have had to walk through.
Yeah.
That's good. So,
I know you really got the pressure.
I know. I had something else I was gonna say before. This was gonna be a joke intro, but you threw me off.
Sorry.
Anyways, scratch it. So obviously, we work together every single day now, and so it's kind of like hard to remember all the way back in the day, you know, because we've been since about 18, especially, like, we've been a lot closer and all this stuff. We've seen each other for probably like 1,200 days in a row now, because we've been staff for about 4 years. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Man, that was good mathing right there. Yeah.
3 years times 4. But it's not that hard. Anyways, I'm the fifth born of five, and Dad was a pastor of many throughout the time of me growing up. Whenever I'm 4 years old is whenever Encounter starts and all this stuff, and things get very busy. And again, being the youngest and having other lots of activities and all this kind of stuff, I think one thing for me was like, oh, am I seen where I am in the midst of, not to try to make you emotional. This is what this whole podcast is about.
Totally fine.
You know? But with lots of people, engagement, and youth ministry, large church, small church, lots of stress, you know, all this kind of stuff, trying to figure out where everything is, how everything is going to work out. I think that's definitely the thing for me that I'm like, yes, I am seen where I am. And I am like, you know, I've told Chloe before, like, yeah, sometimes it feels like God has a bazillion other things he's doing. And he's like, oh yeah, also you're here too, you know? And so that is something, as I was saying that, I was like, oh, that makes sense, because in the context of the way in which we grew up was there's a lot of activity happening.
Yes.
And, you know, it's
every day.
Every day, all the time. Friends coming over, people staying the night for 3 days in a row and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, again, great. It's the way we grew up and all this kind of stuff.
And when you're child number five.
Exactly. And there's everyone older than me is, you know, this graduation, you got college, you got this, and people getting married and all this. And I'm like in ninth grade, and like people are getting married and starting to have kids and all this stuff. And it's like, wow, where am I?
You know? You're just kind of along for the ride.
Exactly. Yeah. And so obviously you get it.
Youngest of four. I feel that.
So, that's the area I would say that definitely is where I'm at with all this. Super good.
It's good. I like
that. That was really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating to see throughout the New Testament how many times the word Father is used in reference to God. It's not just when Jesus taught us to pray, but it's repeated often. And when you look at the connection between the two, when Father is used, the topic that follows is fascinating as well. And I think all of those would help anyone who's wondering, how do I build the bridge? How do I get to seeing God as the Father that is everything that my dad may not have been? One of those passages is from 1 John 3, and it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." You could have mentioned any other attribute of God.
Yeah.
King, Lord, sovereign, omnipotent. But he said, Father.
That's good.
That we should be called children of God.
Yeah.
Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. So, there's all kind of intimacy, confidence, purpose, meaning, protection, hope, expectation, anticipation, all in that one word of Father right there.
Yes.
And so that is what helps lead to healing.
Yes.
And relationships in the horizontal.
Yeah.
And in the most important relationship, the vertical.
Yeah.
So good.
Good stuff today.
Good
Love
stuff.
It.
Thanks for being willing to be open about some things and talk through some tough things. So
absolutely. It's
great. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Come see us at Vertical. See what God's doing here. He's restoring lives horizontally and vertically. So keep lifting him up and living him out.